because they didn't recognize the day of their visitation. Mark 10:46-52 tells us the story about a blind man who realized there was a day of visitation. There was a significant moment, and he decided to seize it. But can I tell you, every moment, and this is why some of us do or not recognize it, there is a cost. It's going to cost you something to seize the moment with the Lord. And I want to illustrate it through this story. Verse 46, and they came to Jericho, talking about Jesus and his entourage, okay? And we don't know how many people are with them, probably up towards 50 of people that travel with him, not only the 12 disciples, but other people that serve. And they came to Jericho, and as he was going out from Jericho, all right, and we don't know if this was that day or probably the next day. He went into Jericho, ministered to some people. As a result of that, as they're coming out of Jericho with his disciples and a great multitude. Do you see that? He went in with a few. He came out with a lot. Say that with me. He went in with a few, but he came out with a lot. And his disciples and a great multitude, a blind beggar named Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the road. Now let me just stop for a moment. This story is about this blind beggar. We're not sure if he was born blind, but the indication is that he was. As a result of this handicap, he was a beggar. We can tell by where he has situated himself that he is a smart beggar. How we know that is he's sitting on the road or the gate that leads out of Jericho and not on the gate that leads into Jericho. If you're a beggar, you don't want to be sitting on the gate that leads in because the people that are coming in are tired. They're probably in a bad mood. They don't really have any money. They have goods that they're going to sell into the city and get some money. So he is sitting on the road that is leading outside the city. The people that are coming out are people usually that are well rested, in a good mood, and they got some jingle in their pocket. The blind beggar in the natural is hearing the sound. All right? He's realizing, man, this is a good place to beg. Now, he's sitting here, and he hears. Some of you know his hearing's acute. He hears a great multitude of people. I mean, not just the normal crowd. Here is a great crowd, and they're following somebody who teaches you ought to give to the poor. How many of you know this beggar's first response is thinking, man, I'm going to retire after today. This is going to be the greatest day of begging I ever had. Man, listen, there must be thousands of people that are coming out this way and are following. But he hears that the cause of the crowd is this man by the name of Jesus. Immediately he knows who it is. Because of being sitting there, he hears the stories that people are telling one another as they're walking out of the city. He's heard about this guy. This carpenter from Nazareth who's gone throughout all of Galilee, and not only can he preach good, but the dead are being raised. The lepers are being cleansed, and more importantly, the blind are able to see. How many of you know faith wells up into this guy? He's probably thought, man, if the Lord ever gets by here, just Jesus, I might be able to see. But he's thinking the chances are he probably won't. But here he is. Jesus is walking by. Now faith wells up within him. And how I know faith wells up within him is he begins to speak. One of the ways that you know you have faith is you begin to talk. When you believe something, you will talk about it. I was recently reading in Luke 1 the story of Zechariah encountering the angel. And one of the things in verse 20, the angel says to Zechariah, because he won't believe what the angel says to him about his wife Elizabeth and the child she's going to bear in their old age. He says these words. He says, because you won't believe it, you'll be unable to speak about it. And can I tell you that unbelief will always cause an inability to speak. I can tell by what people really believe in because they can't shut up about it. You understand? If you believe, you will speak. In fact, it says over in Romans 8, it says when the word comes to you, God says he places the word in two places, in your heart and in your mouth. He says, the word is nigh unto you in your heart and in your mouth. God's word always comes to two places. It comes to our heart so that we might believe it, and it comes to our mouth so that we might speak it. If we believe it, we become righteous. If we speak it, we become whole. Does that make sense? I believe the heart and the mouth are two ends of the same instrument. What stirs one stirs the other. You can always tell what stirs my heart because it's coming out of my mouth. My tongue begins to waggle immediately when my heart begins to be stirred. Unbelief will cause you to be silent. Belief will cause you to speak. Paul says it this way. He says, I believe, therefore I speak. If you believe something, you'll speak it. And so he immediately, look what it says in verse 48 and number 47. And when he heard that it was Jesus the Nazarene, he began to cry out saying, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. It's his day of visitation. The Lord is near. He is calling upon him in a favorable time. He says, Jesus, have mercy. Now the crowd begins to rebuke him. Look in verse 48. And many were sternly telling him to be quiet, but he kept crying out all the more. How many know when you believe, nobody can keep you quiet? But you got to understand, here is where the cost comes in. This crowd is the people of his livelihood. If he alienates the crowd, he doesn't have the greatest day of begging. If he makes this crowd mad, they're not going to give of their change. He knows that. But there is a possibility. Slim one, little opportunity. I mean, you know, everything little, there's a lot. Faith will always allow you to jump on the little with the hope that it'll become a lot. Small window of opportunity here. He says, I don't care. I know. Now, the chances are, if Jesus doesn't hear him, he doesn't get healed, and he doesn't get the greatest day of his begging. But he said, nah, I'm willing to risk everything in order to get my sight. So he cries out even louder. Now, how many of you know Jesus heard him the first time? How many of you know when God, you pray, God hears you the first time? A lot of times he remains silent until you pay the cost. See, a lot of us, the crowd will shut us up. Popularity will shut us up. Not wanting to look foolish will shut up us. Our self-image will shut us up. Not this beggar. And so he heard. Now it's amazing that he even heard the cry. How many know within 1,000 people, there was other people that were sick that were probably crying out? But Jesus was able to detect this cry because there was faith involved. Faith risk. How many know faith will always risk? It's much like the woman with the issue of blood. That everybody was touching him. When the disciple, he says, someone touched me. The disciples were saying, and I'm paraphrasing here, they're saying, are you nuts? Everybody's touching you. And he's going, no, 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 no. This touch was different. This touch was one of faith, and it released power from me. But how many know if that woman was caught out in public in her condition, she would have been stoned. She was unclean. But she risked it all. Faith will always cause you to risk what you have in order to get what you need. Say that with me. Faith will cause you to risk what you have in order to get what you need. Then it says this, and Jesus stopped and said, "Call him here." And they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take courage. Arise, he is calling for you." And casting aside his cloak, he jumped up and came to Jesus. Now here again is the price. Because not only will faith cause you to become vocal, it'll cause you to become mobile. If you have faith, you will move. Say that with me. If you have faith, you will move. It's better to move in faith than to sit in doubt. But what I want you to notice here is this beggar tossed aside his cloak. I did some research on this. This cloak is the most valuable possession that he has because he is homeless. If he's going to invest his daily begging into anything other than the daily necessities for life, he's going to get him a good cloak because it'll protect him from the heat by day and the cold by night. But this cloak is a long cloak. It could trip him up. The window of opportunity is being opened. He can't take the chance that he's going to be tripped up. He's blind. So what he does is take his most valuable possession, casting it aside, knowing he'll probably never see it again. But knowing that if he gets to Jesus, he won't need it again. Cast it aside. Question I want to ask you, what trips you up? What do you decide to keep in your life and it trips you up every time you try to move towards the Lord? You're not willing to cast it aside and you never quite get there. Now he gets to the Lord and notice the question here. The Lord asks him, and I'm just about done. The Lord asks him, "What do you want me to do for you?" Remember the question I had you think about at the beginning of this message. The blind man knew immediately. No hesitation. He says, "I want to see. That's what I want." And notice what the Lord says to him. "Your faith made you whole." I was involved, but it was your faith that released what I had for you. You had a small window here. You're blind. Great crowd. The odds were against you. But your faith kept you vocal and your faith kept you moving and you got what you wanted. Let's stand together. Can I tell you? And our brother Lou said it when he first started beginning to worship, he's made this statement. The Lord is in this place. Remember him saying that? How many of you sensed in the midst of the worship the evidence that that statement was true? The Bible says, "Call on him while he may be found." Can I tell you? He can be found. "Call on him while he is near." Can I tell you? He is near. I believe for those of you that this wasn't foolishness, that it's power to you, that this is a significant moment, you need to seize it. You need to tell the Lord what you want. If that's true, and if there's something in your mind, you say, "Lord, I need this," then I want you right now, no hesitation, come out of your pew, come right up here. Don't hesitate at all. Cast whatever you have to aside, you have this pride, cast whatever you have to aside that may trip you up, but get up here. If it's disillusionment of other times getting up here, cast it aside. If it's disappointment with the Lord over things He didn't do, cast it aside. Whatever it is, cast it aside. Now, I am not the Lord. If any of you have doubted that, talk to my wife. She will very clearly tell you. But I don't have to be the Lord, because the Lord Himself is here. We can't see Him, but we can sense Him. He is near. And while I'm praying this prayer for you, I want you to cry out to the Lord. Tell Him right now what it is that you want. And then I want you to get vocal about it, and I want you to get mobile about it. Move like you already have it, and talk like you already have it. I'm not talking about claiming it and proclaiming it. I'm talking about believing what God has said and speaking and moving towards it, fully persuaded that He has the power to do what He promised. Amen? So while I'm praying this prayer for you, you tell the Lord exactly, just like that blind man, I want to see. Father, I have no hesitation of raising the expectations of these people where you are concerned. I have no fear that you're going to disappoint. I have no fear that you're not going to answer. I have no fear that you're not going to do what you promised them you will. Because I know you are near. I know your answers are not based on who we are. It's based on who you are. That every time you go to do something for anyone, you have to overlook their past. You have to overlook their future. You do not give what we need right now based on whether we deserve it, and you are not going to give based on what we're going to do with it. You're going to give out of your mercy and your grace. Lord, I pray, just like the blind man went away seeing, Lord, that each one that came here today, that cast aside hurts, wounds, disillusionment, disappointment, doubt, Lord, that they will, their faith in you will make them whole in the area that they have cried out. Lord, this has been a significant time. This has been a day of visitation for all of us. And we want to right now say thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for hearing us. Thank you, Lord, for healing us. Thank you, Lord, for touching us. Thank you, Lord, for empowering us. Thank you, Lord, for answering us. Thank you, Lord, for changing us. Thank you, Lord, for touching our marriages. Thank you, Lord, for touching our families. Thank you, Lord, for touching our finances. Thank you, Lord, for touching our livelihood. Thank you, Lord, for touching us, for ministering to us, for hearing us, for not giving up on us. Father, we thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Just thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we thank you. Lord, we just say thank you. Oh, Lord, thank you, Lord. Thanks. Thanks, God. Thank you. Oh, Lord, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And as the Lord said to the blind man, I say to you, go your way. For your faith has made you whole. Amen? Let's give the Lord a big hand.